Hello, rock stars. I'm your host, Carrie Price. Welcome to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I am so thrilled to be discussing all things health, wellness, lifestyle, motherhood, and more. Ready to get vibed? Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the High Vibe Mama podcast. So excited that you're here. And in this kind of section of my podcast, we've been talking a lot about vibe, and this is all about emotional health, spiritual health, mental health, especially in grief, trauma, and loss. And so I just wanted to continue the conversation and keep having the conversation and keep it going with grief. And I know that I've said it before, is that my motto is basically transitions in life are inevitable and transforming is up to us. And this has kind of been evolving over my in loving recovery journey. And, you know, it's all about grief to growth, pain to power, tragedy to triumph. And kind of a really interesting thing that's happened to me over this past now almost 3 years, which I can't believe it. And I guess if you're just tuning in and listening to my podcast, I love teaching women about physical and emotional health. And especially right now, I'm talking about emotional health. And there's lots of things that we can speak about when it comes to emotional health. But really, my focus is grief, trauma, and loss. And grief is a great teacher, which I've talked about in my previous podcasts. But kind of what it's done for me, especially since, you know, I lost my parents and then I lost my twin brother. And when I lost my twin brother, it brought up all of this trauma of growing up in addiction and having to learn to go through this and heal this and transform. It was just wild. I don't even know how else to explain it or put it in words sometimes. But grief has actually given me an opportunity to transform. And what I mean by that is it's kind of put me in this wave of really deep discovery about myself. And I relate to myself so differently now than I ever did. And really what deep loss and trauma kind of forced me into, and I think we can all say that it's a force, because a lot of times when unexpected transitions or hardships or loss comes, it forces us into that, right? Where we didn't really expect this to happen or want this to happen. So it was kind of a forced into that. And sometimes that's why we freeze and we're like, no, I don't want to do this, because no one likes to be forced, right? So, but it's caused me to have this really deep relationship with myself. And it really was like a portal and a lighthouse for me. And now when hard things come, which, you know, we, like I talked about in the last podcast, we don't have control over everything. So when hard things come or change, or just, you guys, this whole human experience, like being human is hard. And sometimes this human experience just literally breaks our heart. And I know that that's what happened to me. But having said all that, I now have a sense of safety that is sourced, you guys, within my own self. How powerful is that? You guys, transitions, this is what transitions do. They actually really so directly and forcefully pull us out of our comfort zone. And we all, you know, like to stay in our comfort zone, or when the rug is kind of pulled out underneath us and we fall, like it puts us like literally abruptly in the most uncomfortable position that we couldn't even imagine ourselves in, right? And it interrupts our status quo. Let's just be honest, right? And life scenarios and transition summon us to change it. Like, we have to change. And that's actually the hardest thing to do, right? Is change. So during transitions, you guys, our circumstances, our needs, our desires, and our behaviors must change to evolve. Or what happens? We risk a lot. We risk on a personal level, our well-being, our health, and just actually fulfillment in life. That's what we risk. And it's interesting. I heard this saying the other day that it's like, we don't even have to move on or move forward with grief. What about just moving alongside it? Right? Think about that and ponder on that. So really, you guys, in all of my losses, it took me some time to really find the gratitude. And I want you to know that if you're listening to this, no matter where you're at on your grief journey, if it just happened a couple months ago, if it's been years or hasn't, wherever you're at, just know that it takes time to find this. It takes time to find this gratitude. And you don't have to be forced into finding the gratitude. But really, that's what it's done for me. It's helped me find just so much gratitude. You guys, even though oftentimes, and I still, it's a work in progress, I feel like I'm being buried alive. The beautiful thing about this is, yet I am so grateful about who I am becoming through these deaths and losses. And I'll tell you a quick story. I actually had this come up for me is, you know, I was feeling like I'm really stepping in to power and I'm doing amazing work here upon the earth. And then all of a sudden I started to shut down and think, well, why couldn't I have stepped into power before this, like before all of this hard transition and grief and loss came? Like, why did my family have to die? Why did my mom, my dad, my brother, the man who raised me, like, why did I have to have all of this loss to like find myself? And I started going in the pit, you guys. And I want you to know that I still go there sometimes, that I'm not just magically healed with this magic wand. That's just not how it works. And that's why I call it a transformation. But like I said, just who I am becoming is this beautiful thing. And you guys, this transformation of healing, it happened really slow. It wasn't overnight, and it actually is quiet. It's actually silent. That's what I like to call grief, actually. It's actually the silent emotional sickness that nobody can see. And it happened like in very small increments and, you know, hardly noticeable by others, yet it compounded over time. And people say, don't look back, right? But really in grief, you have to look back, because what this allows you to do and allowed me to do is actually see this radical transformation that happened and that has really like birthed who I am on a soul level right now, today. So I really want you just to ponder on that and think about that and think about, you know, what are some big life transitions? It doesn't even have to be. I know I talk about a lot about my losses and the death of my people that I just love so dearly, but think about a really hard transition in your life that maybe has helped you transform, that maybe if you haven't experienced it, that you don't know, you know, if you would be who you are today, or what are the lessons, you know, that has been taught, right? And I think about this often, you guys. I really do. I know that I actually talk about this a little bit, or I have before, and I talk about the unbecoming to become. And what does that mean? What does that mean, you know, in grief? What does that mean, you know, in trauma? What does that actually mean? And I'm just going to share this with you really quickly is, you know, what if unbecoming to become, and I know that sounds kind of weird, right? Unbecome to become, like what? But really, that is the transformation, and that is what the transition invoked. And when this kind of, you have this experience, you actually learn how to live again. But you're kind of stripped of all the labels. You're stripped of the identity, like all the things that we thought that we were, right? I know that that happened for me. And I'm really telling you, grief just ripped me open. I mean, it exposed me and it just broke my soul open. And in doing so, though, I thought I kind of had to become like all of these things and fix myself. And it was really about doing none of those things. It was about unbecoming. And I had to really open myself up. And I talked about this in the last podcast, is to healthy grief. The kind that actually helps us heal. So we actually don't get lost in it, you guys, because we can get lost in this vortex of grief. And just finding a way forward from this in all the in-between, like the surreal wasteland of grief, is unbecoming. You guys, interrupting the cycle of pain, the waves, the aches that just wash over you, that I have felt wash over me, that's unbecoming. Learning how to really tame this ginormous and consuming fog of grief, that's unbecoming. That's transforming. And just holding space for that, I think, is really important. Holding space for unbecoming instead of trying to become, trying to be fixed. What if we just held space for us to unbecome? And I want you to kind of think about that for a minute. Think about how that's been for you. How you can really, what do you need to unbecome? Like, what do you need to shed? You know? Because I'll tell you right now, there's so much. And I mean, I could talk forever on this topic. And I'm trying to keep these podcasts a little more concise, especially when we're talking about this and talking about, you know, transforming through grief. I know it can sound just, you know, debilitating, like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to transform, but not transformation how you're thinking of it, you know, like, oh, leveling up. Like, what if it's shedding? What if it's this unbecoming to become something greater, or fulfilling our purpose that God wants us to fulfill? What does that look like? What does that feel like? And I want to talk about this because I think it's really important, is that your vibe and your energy state is actually a blend of the contracted and expanded frequencies of your body, your health, your emotions, your thoughts at any given moment. And the more, you guys, that we allow your soul's purpose to magnify through you, the transformation, the unbecoming, the higher your personal vibration will be. And I call this, you guys, vibe checking. I know I've talked about this if you follow me on social media. And I know that we've all felt that. We've felt the dark night of the soul of grief and what that looks like, what it feels like. And yes, we have to unbecome to become. We have to go through this hard transition. Like, we have to face it in order to transform. And grief is kind of where your soul finds this deeper purpose. I know it sounds crazy, but it really does. And it's actually an opportunity to come out with a transformed state of your body, your health, your consciousness. Only if we let it, though, you guys. Only if we let it. It is actually like the beginning of a spiritual awakening, is what I call it. And it essentially, like I said, rebirths where and your ego dies over and over again. I love this quote, and it says this. It's one of my favorite quotes. It says, when everything around you becomes real dark, it's easier to find the light within. And that was Burt McCoy who said that. And I absolutely love that quote, you guys. And I'm going to tell you a real quick story, really quick. So in our household, to kind of run my household, I have this permanent babysitter. And I realized going through grief that I had to actually have two of them. And so I hired another girl. And I know that sounds really crazy, but this is like all of the back end stuff that you guys don't know of what I really did to try to heal. Is really, I had two of them because one would help me with, you know, house stuff or whatever I needed, some stuff in my business. But sometimes they would just watch my kids and I would lock myself in my room and I would do the healing work I needed to do. Or I would literally sit and cry, or I would sleep, because grief makes you super tired. And processing and the unbecoming and the transformation, it's exhausting. It is so exhausting. And so a lot of the times I would just sleep. And actually one of the girls who came and worked for me, I got to know her story a little bit, and I'm not going to name her name, so I'll keep it private. And she probably listens to my podcast. I know she follows me on social media, but she was just here going to college. She lived in a different town, and the school year was about to get over, and she was talking about different jobs and what she was going to do. And, you know, she was about to head home, and we were just talking about all of these things. And I had known from our other past conversations that she had lost her little brother in an ATV accident, a four-wheeling accident. I'm going to take a drink really quick. So, and it was horrible. There was a scene. He died in the hospital, and he was really young. He was only about 10 years old. And I remember a little glimpse of her story here and there and just hearing it and, you know, holding space and allowing compassion. And I remember she was just telling me different things that she was going to do and her jobs. And she said, well, I thought about working at the hospital, but she goes, I just can't do it. And I said, oh, why? I thought that's what you wanted to do. And she said, well, I can't work there because that's where my brother died. And she immediately just started sobbing and sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And so I immediately went over to her and hugged her. And then she just started, you know, vomiting all the things that grievers do. Like, nobody understands. Nobody gets me. This is so hard. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, wow, I've been here. I've felt like this before. And I remember her telling me all of these things too. Like, my roommates, they think I'm crazy, you know. And she's like, I want to move home because I feel like this is how I can keep my family safe. I don't want anything else bad to happen to my family. And, you know, she's going in this rampant rant about all of her feelings. And, you know, she's like, no one will listen. No one will understand. And I said, I know. I've been there. And it was interesting, you know, she was only about, I think, a year and a half out. And I was a little ahead of her. So I was thinking to myself how I have felt those exact same things. And I have told myself those stories as well, and just holding space and listening to her. And she kind of just thanked me for doing that because she's like, no one will listen. No one understands. I'm like, I know. And that's why I always say that grieving hearts, they morph together because we understand each other. And I think what people don't understand is that grief just last so much longer than what our culture deems acceptable, you know? And I don't know, like I said in the last podcast, they put a time stamp on it, or, you know, people think that you should act a certain way or be over it by now. And that's kind of what she was feeling. And it was just so interesting. And, you know, kind of the things that I was thinking about is grief mirroring things. Like, what does grief mirror? It mirrors love. It mirrors depth. Like, it mirrors vastness. Like, it's foreverness. Like, when we grieve, it's like so fierce and it's so open-hearted. And, you know, she just kept saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm like, don't be sorry. This is a part of the process. We can't just hold all this stuff in, because what happens when we hold it in? It comes out in what? Maybe it comes out in, you know, wanting to self-sabotage ourselves, or it comes out in sedation of, you know, being addicted to, whether it's like shopping or pornography, or it comes out in wanting to numb this pain. So wanting to use like drugs or alcohol or narcotics or caffeine or whatever to not feel this, but we have to feel it to heal it. And that's what I always say. And I just tell you that story because I hope that if you're listening, you've experienced anything like this, that you're like, wow, that's so relatable. And I want to be relatable, and I want to have these conversations, especially in my vibe section of this podcast, talking about emotions and grief, because I don't know why we're so weird about talking about it. And here's the deal, you guys, grief doesn't have a timeline. It just doesn't. It doesn't magically, with ease, we don't like reach the 1 year mark and it's like, okay, we're like fine and dandy. It doesn't just go away. Like when we start to rebuild our life and it's like the aftermath, like there's no, we don't get a trophy. Like there's no milestone that we reach because we've, you know, got that healing record down. You guys, grief is just not like that, or trauma. It's just so much, it's complex, but it's also like very simple at the same time. And, you know, sharing all this stuff with you, and I feel like too, sometimes in my podcasts, my brain's going all sorts of different directions because I could talk for hours on this. And just know that even a year ago, I wasn't even ready to talk about that. And I think on my podcast too, I kind of was like, oh, we have to start with physical health because that's where I like feel comfortable going and I feel comfortable talking about the physical health. But when it came to the emotional health, it was like, oh, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to go there and talk about it. And guess what? It's okay if you're not. You have to give yourself the time. We can't just throw ourselves into, you know, getting better. And, you know, I also think that it just comes with time, but it's also starting to ask the right questions. And that's also when I started to really transform, is I just started asking myself different questions. I started to ask myself, how do I want to feel? Like, what do I want? And just ponder on that a minute. Like, ask yourself, what do you want? How do you want to feel? And it's like, okay, how can I reframe then? How do I want to feel? And when I started moving towards that, that's when healing really started to happen. That's when I started to open up and be like, okay, I'm ready to talk about this just a little bit more. And, you know, ready to take my healing journey on the next level. And just give yourself grace, you guys, really. Because here's the deal, moving forward with our grief is not the same as moving on of our grief. And I think I've talked about that. Or what about moving alongside of us? It's so important. We have to, I mean, it's not like it's ever going to go away, right? I think that if we were to ask someone who's deeply lost someone or deeply loved someone, if we just want to move on or forget or forgive and forget, you know, that old saying, we'd probably be like, oh no, like we want to honor them and we have like still profound loss. And so how can we go forward with that? And I actually, I want to pull up, I read this quote the other day and it's not my words and I'll tell you who said it, but it actually was perfect timing of something that I needed to read. And I always call these God winks when this happens to me, when I'm feeling a certain way. And then this comes up, and this was coming up for me because you know, I was thinking about a lot of different things, like, you know, my mom never seeing her grandkids and my dad. And then I was also thinking about my brother and, you know, like another Christmas without him. Excuse me. And just, you know, what would he look like? Would he be married by now? Like, and you go through all of these kind of what ifs. And anyway, this, I want to read you this quote really quickly. It says, and this is by Donna Ashworth, and it says, you don't just lose someone once, you lose them over and over and over. Sometimes many times in a day, when the loss, monumentally forgotten, creeps up and attacks you from behind. Fresh waves of grief as the realization hits home that they are gone again. You don't just lose someone once, you lose them every time you open your eyes to a new dawn. As you awaken, so does your memory, and so does jolting bolt of lightning that rips into your heart as they are gone again. Losing someone is a journey, not a one-off. There is no end to loss. There is only a learned skill on how to stay afloat when it washes over. Be kind to those who are sailing in this storm, this sea. They have a journey ahead of them and a daily shock to their system each time they realize they are gone again. You don't just lose someone once, you lose them every day for a lifetime. And I thought that was really profound because it's so true, right? And so if you're walking in this path of grief, and wherever you're at, like if you're feeling like you're in hell right now, because I know that I've felt that. I feel like I'm walking through hell. Like, is this really my life? And the thing is suffering and loss is built in this human existence. It just is. And I don't think that there's like an antidote, right? And I don't like to say but, I like to say and, because I feel like there's space for two truths. Like I've said, joy and grief can coexist. A meaningful life provides a large enough context to hold both pain and inevitable loss and joy, right? And it doesn't mean because, you know, we've, you know, in your eyes, because of what you can see, that we've moved on or we've gotten better, that we still don't have what this poem writer talked about of losing someone over and over and over and over. So I guess to end kind of this podcast, I don't know, I just want to take a moment to honor you wherever you're at in this path, wherever you're at on this journey, and to let the ripple effect of deep loss, because there's so many ripples, right? There's cascades of change. Just let them exist and let them transform within you, right? And it's okay that if there's these secondary losses, or, you know, to most people, they're invisible, right? Of what this girl talked about in this poem. They're indivisible losses, like all around us, that people don't see. And I just want you to know that you're not alone, that I love holding space for people. And this is why I'm talking about this on this podcast, because it's so important. And I feel like even this year, or what, it's almost 2 years now, a year and a half, we have experienced so much grief, so much loss, so much change. But, you know, it's not like bucket up buttercup, because you guys, the process of grief, like, it's not this emergency. You know, it's not this timeline. I think it's internalized in our culture, and, you know, we have to allow for the ebbs and the flows. as we grow, as we change, also our grief does. And I think I talked about this on the Survivors Network, but there's this picture that's really neat, and it shows grief, you know, in a tiny jar, and the jars get bigger, and it says this is what society thinks of grief, and they think that, you know, the ball grows smaller as the jars grow. But really, in a sense, is the ball actually gets bigger, but the jar also gets bigger as well. So it's our ability to actually handle it, our ability to live with it, our ability to moving forward. And again, I'm going to just spark this truth, because you guys, moving forward doesn't mean that our person or people, in my sense, are left behind. We can choose to live again. Like, you can grieve and live a full life. Keep saying that to yourself. You can grieve and live a full life. But just by also weaving your loved one into different fabrics of your being, different fabrics of your unbecoming, your becoming, like we've talked about in this podcast. And I know this to be true now, is that they actually can come alongside with you. They can keep living through us as we remain connected to them. And I think that's the beautiful thing, I guess, I want to end this podcast with, is that the transition, you guys, it's inevitable. I mean, we can't go back. There's no changing it. But transformation, so what do we choose? And what questions are you asking yourself? And I'd like to offer the end of this podcast, just ask yourself those questions. Like, how do you want to feel? You know, how, or what do you want? Why is this important to you? So powerful, right? Deep breaths. Let's end with a song, my friends. Now I'm starting to end with songs instead of, you know, have them be at the beginning. I actually love this song. I want to play it for you. My mouth is so dry. I have to take a drink. So it's actually interesting. My son loves the song, and he always wants to listen to it. And it's Talking to the Moon. And it's funny because I've done that so many times. Like, you talk to the stars, you talk to the moon, like you're talking to your people. And so as we listen to it, I want you to think of the transformation. I want you to think of, what can you unbecome to become, as we listen? Oh, I gotta plug it in. There it is. I know you're somewhere out there, somewhere far away. I want you back. I want you back. My neighbors think I'm crazy, but they don't understand. You're all I have. You're all. So true, right? Nighttime. Nighttime is the hardest part. And it's okay if you talk to the moon. It's part of the process and part of the unbecoming. Part of the transformation. Yes. I love in that song how it talks about, my neighbors think I'm crazy. People will think you're crazy going through this grief journey, but I want you to know that you're not alone. And this is why I love helping moms transform and to heal out of hardship so they don't have to put themselves last first, that it is possible. And I am living proof and testimony of that. So with that, you guys, so grateful that you're here. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you guys on the next podcast. Hey, thanks for listening, sending you all the good vibes. The podcast can be found on most major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, follow me on social platforms, Facebook at highvibelifestyle.co, Instagram at _highvibemama, and visit my website, highvibemama.com, and download your free manifesto to launch you into living a high vibrational life. Leave a review, and we'll see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.